So this week, Vayishma Yisroi heard his koilash osalikim la Moshe Yisroel. Yisroi hears everything that God has done for Moshe and for the Yidden. Vayisaper, so he comes and the Torah tells us of the great honor that was done to him, that Moshe and Aaron and the children, they went out to be mekabel ponim, to receive Yisroi. So Rashi brings medrash that, can you imagine Moshe and Aaron and all the elders go somewhere and the Yidden would stay behind? It's inconceivable. So Moshe and Aaron and all the Jewish people went out to greet Yisroi. So then the Torah tells us, Vayisaper Moshe lechoisnoi. Moshe retold all the events that had happened up to that time. Al Oides Yisroel, the whole Geschichte, the story about the Yidden. So, Vayoyme Yisroi Baruch Hashem. Yisroi said, thank God. And he, thank God who was so good to you. Ashehitzel Eschem, and he saved you, Miyad Mitzrayim, and Miyad Paroi, from the hand of Egypt and from the hand of Pharaoh. Ashehitzel Eschem, he saved the people. So, the Rebbe Rabbunim, he discusses the dikdukim in this psukim, and there are some obvious questions. Why does Yisroi say, Baruch Hashem, thank God who saved you from the hands of Egypt and the hands of Pharaoh? I mean, it's the same thing, surely. Egypt and Pharaoh. And then, when it talks about Moshe retelling the narrative, he speaks al oidos Yisroel because of the Eden. And Yisroi says, and he talks about what God had done le Moshe uli Yisroel. You know, what is Moshe then different, that he would say that God has done for Moses and for Israel? So the Rebbe Rabbonim points out a whole number of seemingly superfluous doubles here. Moshe and Israel, Parim Mitzrayim. So he begins this Sedra by telling us something really important. Yisroi knew who Moshe was, right? I mean, Moshe lived for 40 years in Midian there in Yisroi's house. So Yisroi understood that Moshe is a really great person, and probably all the things that happened, these wonderful things that have happened to the Yidden, is really probably because of Moshe. That God wanted Moshe to be the king of the Jews. And so God chose Moshe, sends him down to Egypt, and brings the Jewish people out of Egypt, and so that Moshe should be the leader. And so the language of Yisroi, he talks about Moshe and the Eden. But Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, no, that's really not what's going on. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah tells us that God says, Chol Beisi Ne'eman Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu can be trusted anywhere in my house. God says, I trust Moshe anywhere. Why? Because Moshe didn't mean himself. Moshe never ever thought that there was something special about him. He never took for himself any of the honors that were available. So that's why the Torah tells us that Moshe, when he was telling the story, Vayisape Moshe L'choisnoi, Moshe described the narrative and he says, Al Oidois Yisroel, it's because of the Yidden, not because of me. God didn't send me down to Egypt because of me. God sends me down to Egypt because of the Yidden. So then, Yisroel responds, Baruch Hashem, Hashehitzel, Eschem Miyad Mitzrayim Umiyad Paroi, that He saved you from the hands of Egypt and the hands of Pharaoh. Because so long as Moshe, Yisroel thought that Moshe's, this is really about Moshe. So he thought to himself, well, you know, God really has taken the people out of Egypt from under Pharaoh, and now they're under Moshe. So it's like a king, you know, who takes a whole bunch of slaves or citizens, you know, he's conquered a new country, and now all the people who used to be subjects of the previous vanquished king are now his subjects. And that's what Yisroel thought that Yitzias Mitzrayim was about, that God has got a favorite, you know, his favorite is Moshe. And so God has given him this ready-made people. But now, Moshe tells him that's not really what's happened. He says, oh, Baruch Hashem, who saved you from Egypt and from Pharaoh. Meaning, from Egypt and from having a king over you. So, if that's the case, then why did God take all the Eden out of Egypt? Because He Himself wants to be the king. Oh, so then Vayichad Yisroel, Yisroel gets very happy. Yichad Yisrael kol ha-toivu. So Yisrael now has a whole new appreciation. Really? That's the case. It's not about Moshe. And this really is the introduction to this week's Seder. You know, in this week's Seder we get the Eden receiving the Ten Commandments. And the question is always, why do we have to begin the story of the Ten Commandments and coming to Sinai and this whole Aliyah, this huge elevation that we all had? And why do we have to begin this with the story of Yisroel? So the Rebbe Rabbinim is saying is that this is really opportunity to sort of, through this narrative of Yisroel coming and Moshe explaining, that we ourselves get to understand something. Yitzias Mitzrayim is not about Moshe, even though he figures very big and he is a great national hero and a figure, and it's difficult for us to imagine Judaism, the Jewish people, without figuring Moshe. Yet it's very important that the whole Seder night we don't mention once Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's not about Moshe. Because history is not about Moshe. The Torah is Nitzchi. The Torah is eternal. So everything that's happening in the Torah is happening now. It's really happening to me. So is my Geula, is my redemption dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu? Or is it an agent that I can call Moshe, but it's happening in my life? That's really how each of us, how we have to see the world, and how the Torah is happening now. So then, the Rebbe Rabbinim, with this idea, he explains the rest of the Seder. The Torah tells us that Moshe olo elo alikim, Moshe went up to God. Vayikro Elov Hashem Min Hohar Lema. God calls to him from the mountain, saying. So the first question is, when Moshe is going up, it says, Moshe olo elo elikim. Moshe goes up to Elikim. And then immediately, in the same verse, it says, Vayikro Elov Hashem. Yud Kei Vov Kei. Why doesn't it say Vayikro Elov Elikim? Or Moshe olo el Hashem, Yud Kei Vov Kei. Why? He goes up to Elikim, and Hashem, Yud Kei Vov Kei, calls to him. And then, why does it say that after Moshe's gone up to God, that God calls to him? If Moshe's gone up to God, then he's there. Doesn't need to call. Can just speak. Can just say, Vayoma Hashem al Moshe. So he says like this. The Gemara says that there's a Mashiach in every generation. And I'm reminded of a story. I think I heard this story from Motel Tversky, that Rebitzikl Skvera was the son of Reb Motel at Chernobyl. That he had no appetite. He ate very little. He was son-in-law of the Belzerov. Once the Spinker Rebbe was there, and whether it was in Belz, in Skvera, I'm not sure. But he saw, he was sitting there at the table, he could see that the Skvera Rebbe, he didn't eat anything. So he said to him, why don't you eat anything? He said, I have no appetite. So he said to him, well, why do you have no appetite? He says, I can't eat. So the Spinker Rebbe gets bent out of shape. He says, nope, you better tell me what's going on. So he said, look, I can't really eat. I'm mamshak. So from a vergangen appetite, I can't eat. So he said, you better tell me this story. So he said, well, I tell you the story. When we were kids at home in Chernobyl, one day our father, Reb Motel at Chernobyl, said, this morning we're going to daven in the forest. And he called the kotcher, and we sat on the wagon, and we went somewhere deep into the forest near Chernobyl in the Ukraine. And we got deep in the forest. There was a woodman's hut, really basic, simple room with a door. And our father, he got off the wagon and he said, told his children to wait. He said, you wait out here, and if somebody comes by and he asks where's Motel at Chernobyl, you tell him that I'm in the hut. So we waited on the wagon. Our father took his talus and tefillin, and he went inside the woodman's hut. And sure enough, a little while later, a man comes by and he asks for my father, and we tell him, oh, he's waiting for you inside. So they go in. The man goes in, and we sit out waiting outside. And he's there for a while. And then the door opens, and my father and this stranger both come out. And my father looks like very adamant. And this man is pleading with my father. And my father says, no. And he gets on the wagon and he tells the coacher to drive home. And the man says, but please, Rimotele, maybe, yeah. My father says, no, absolutely no. And the man sighed. Oy. My father told the coachman to take us home. On the way home, we asked Dad, who was that? What was going on? He said, Kinderlach, you should know that was Mashiach. And he wanted to reveal himself. And he asked my permission. That's why we had this meeting. And I told him it's not the time. So, Rebitzikl Skvera told the Spinker Rebbe, when I think of the sigh that Mashiach sighed, the krechets that he gave, my appetite just disappears. And you know, I think of that story when I think of, you know, like 100 years later, you have the Holocaust, you know, and you know, Mashiach sighing, and the Rebbe saying, no, it's not time. The Rebbe Rabinam, he has a different take. He says like this. The Gemara says, in every generation is Mashiach. Ubevadai says, Ein ritzoinam loyma bederach prat. He says, for sure the Gemara doesn't mean an individual. Sheyesh be'echad mi'isro nishmas Mashiach. It can't be that there's one individual who has the neshem of Mashiach in every generation. He says, Kilama yifel Hashem yisborach kezeach Hashem goyim. And why would God do that? Why would God do that to us? Why would God do that to the person who's Mashiach if he's not redeeming us? I mean, I used to, you know, I grew up with the old-fashioned take on this story that there's a Mashiach in every generation. Basically, he dies of heartbreak, right? He wants to be revealed. He wants to lead. And Rebbe Nachman says, no. So he dies of heartbreak, and then there's another one. The Rebbe Rabinam says, no, it can't be. God wouldn't do that to him, to her, to whatever, to whoever Mashiach is, if he's not going to redeem, if it's not the time. So the Rebbe Rabinam learns a different pshat in the Gemara. He says, Kavanosam b'zeal derech klal. He says, in general, Sheyesh b'klolis Yisroel b'chinas Mashiach, that we, the Jewish people, we have within us a collective soul, a collective consciousness, a collective awareness, a collective genius called Mashiach. U'kesheyale b'ritzoyne yizborach ligales amoy. And when the time comes for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to redeem his people, yivche echad m'Yisrael haroy lezeh, he'll pick one of the Eden who's fitted, suitable to be Mashiach. V'yagoyl, and that person then will become the Redeemer. She's galah b'meher b'men, should happen in our days. And then the Rebbe Rabinam adds, v'havein zeh ki soidu. And I want you to understand this, because this is a secret. This is a mystery. The mystery of Mashiach. That it's not an individual. It's the Jewish people. We have Mashiach. We are Mashiach. We manifest Mashiach. We personify. We are the Redeemer of the world. When the time comes, it'll congeal around an individual. As the Rabbeinu Shem will pick the individual, I guess. The important thing is that it's a manifestation of the collective consciousness of the Jewish people. He says, and this is exactly what happened in Egypt. The Torah tells us, Ve'yizaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem, and the Jewish people called to God, Vayar Elikim es b'nei Yisrael, and God saw the Jewish people, Vayeda Elikim, and God knew. And then the next pasuk reads, Moshe hoya roya, and Moshe was a shepherd. And he was leading the flock of his father-in-law to the Midbar, to the wilderness, to the mountain of God, which would later become Sinai. And then he has the encounter, the vision of God in the burning bush. So the Rebbe Rabinam says that Moshe wasn't Mashiach. Moshe wasn't noticeable at all. He wasn't outstanding. He wasn't obviously our leader. He wasn't even there. But the Jewish people manifested a leader. And when the time came, it's like he was always there. Moshe hoya roya. Moshe was a shepherd. So he says, this is not just true about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is true in general, that when Moshe and the Yidden, when they arrived at Mount Sinai, it says, Vayichen Sham Yisrael Neged Ha'ar, and the Jewish people, they camped there by the mountain, and the Rashi brings the Medrash, Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad. It says, Vayichen Sham Yisrael, it speaks in the singular, that Israel camped there, like one man with one heart. So the Rebbe Rabbinim learns a pshat in that. It doesn't mean that they were unified. Yeah, they were unified too, but that's not the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that Moshe at that point again was just another Yid. Ki ish echad b'lev echad, there was nobody outstanding at that moment. There was, when Moshe had brought the Jewish people to Sinai, that was the end of his shlichus. At least that's what he thought. It doesn't say that Moshe is at that moment the one who's going to bring down the Torah. And in fact, if we look at the encounter by the burning bush, God says to him, to Moshe, Tavdu nesulikim alohar hazeh. And he says, when you come out of Egypt, when you bring the Yidden out of Egypt, you'll serve God, you'll worship God here on the mountain. And it doesn't say that you're going to bring the Torah down for the Yidden. It just says, and all of you are going to worship God here. And Moshe Rabbeinu, again, he didn't consider himself anything special. And as soon as his shlichus was over, as soon as the Yidden came to Sinai, Moshe felt that his duty was done. And now he has to wait for orders, what to do next. And he didn't think that he was going to be chosen for the next stage. Even when Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Yidden are going to be Mekabel Torah, he just felt that he, as a Jew, as a, one of the Bnei Yisrael, is going to receive the Torah together with everybody else. So, when the Torah tells us that Moshe went up to God, it doesn't mean that he went up the mountain. It means that we, the Jewish people, again, we manifested somebody who's going to be the intermediary, who's going to lead us, and who's going to act as the Rebbe who brings us the Torah. And so, Umoshe Olo El Elikim, Moshe goes up to God, means that Moshe manifests this tremendous level of prophecy. And then, Vayikra Hashem al Moshe. So after Moshe has risen, then God calls to Moshe. And that's why when it talks about Moshe being elevated, it says El Elikim, because that's the middah of Gevura. When it talks about God calling to Moshe, then it's Vayikra Hashem with the Yudke Vovke. And then the Rebbe Rabbinim says, and I want you to think about this because it's very deep. When God commands Moshe to prepare the Yidden, he says there's three things. He says, Hagbe Lesohar, make a fence around the mountain. V'chipsu sim loisom, and the Yidden should wash their clothes, go to mikveh. V'his kadosh, and they should become holy, meaning that for 3 days they separated the men and the women, and they prepared themselves for Matan Torah. But Moshe, when he came down the mountain, it says, and he told us to separate and to wash. It doesn't say that he told us about making a fence around the mountain. And then on the morning of Matan Torah, God calls to Moshe and he says, Lech red hoyed ba'am pen yehersu, go tell the people that they, you know, they should not touch the mountain. Moshe says, but they can't touch the mountain. Nobody's going to touch the mountain. God says, be very careful. Go and tell them. So the question is, why Moshe was lax? You know, Moshe was never lax. If there was a command, then Moshe would tell it to the people. See? And it brings us back to this, that Moshe never thought to himself that he was going to be the one who gives the Torah. All he knew was that the Yidden do what he does, right? When he and Aaron went out to greet Yisro, his father-in-law, all the Yidden came with. So Moshe said to himself, you know, if I'm not going up the mountain, nobody's going up the mountain. So while he told the Yidden about the Kedusha, about sanctifying themselves, washing, and that he told everybody, but he didn't feel like he needed to tell everybody not to go up the mountain. Why would anybody go up the mountain? But as soon as he got called to go up the mountain, then God has to say to Moshe, before you come up the mountain, you have to tell them. Now, Imam, you're going to have to tell them, because if you go up, they're all going to follow. And they mustn't. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to, you know, put your mind. We've talked many times about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rebbe Rabbinim talks about what does it mean that he was a Savlan. The Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble man, right? And Rashi says, Shofal, he was lowly, and Savlan, he had forbearance, you know, patience. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, why is patience associated with anova, with humility and modesty? And he says, because Moshe Rabbeinu thought so poorly of himself, that Moshe Rabbeinu would, you know, it's hard for us to imagine, and yet it's so obvious that he would be the one who is chosen. But Moshe Rabbeinu really considered himself to be the least talented Yid. And even after Moshe is chosen to be the Rebbe and to receive the prophecy, he only feels that he was chosen because he's got the least to offer. So the Baruch Shem chooses him so that we all, looking at Moshe, can understand that if Moshe can do it, then we can zichet do it. If Moshe can achieve such heights, then we for sure. I've said this before. It says Moshe kibbul Torah miSinai, the beginning of the Mishnayos of Avos. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai and handed it over to Yehoshua, to the Zakenim, to the prophets, men of the great assembly, and so on. So what does it mean that Moshe received the Torah from Sinai? Well, you should say Moshe kibbul Torah al Sinai. But Moshe Rabbeinu learned for himself, just as God chose the least, smallest mountain in the world to give the Torah, so God chose the least, smallest Jew. I heard from Shlomo, you know, and the minhag is that on Shavuos night we sit up to wait for the morning, because on the morning of Matan Torah everybody was asleep. Why did everybody sleep? How come we weren't so excited to receive the Torah that we had to be woken up? And the answer is because everybody said to themselves, you know, the Torah, God is giving the Torah, his Torah is giving to Mistoma, he'll give it to somebody important who'll bring it to us. Like, everybody felt like, who am I to receive the Torah? The important people will get the Torah and they'll bring it to us. The idea that we were going to actually be given the Torah personally by God, that never occurred to us. So everybody said, you know, I'll wait to be called. And Shlomo used to say that there's a level of humility which is shtuyot, which is, right, it's silly. And this is one of those levels where a person is so humble and so modest that, you know, he's not machshiv himself enough to think that he's even like everybody else. That's anava of shtus. True humility doesn't think that it's less than. People think that you're humble means, I think less of myself than anybody else. No. Humble means that I really see myself as I am. Which doesn't mean worthless. Never means worthless. Can't be worthless. Because if I see myself who I really am, then I see the divine in myself. I see the neshama. I see the genius that God has put in me. If I'm not seeing myself, all right, fair enough, then I can think of myself as less than, but then that's not humility. Humility is I mamish see who I am. Okay, it's no better than anybody else, but it's if I can't see the uniqueness of who I am and how I'm connected to God and how I am an expression of a chelik alikamimal, then I'm not really being humble. I'm just low self-esteem, right? That's got nothing to do with humility. Humility has to do with emes. Moshe emes. Say Moshe emes v'tayrosei emes. So what does it mean? And Moshe really could see who he was. And he could see the divine in himself. Now, verse, Moshe could see the divine in everybody else. Moshe could see who everybody else was. And when he compared what his gifts were with everybody else's, like everybody had even greater gifts than him. And so he was for sure that, you know, God is going to choose somebody much more gifted through whom to give the Torah. But see, Moshe represents us. Because we all of us have that chelik of Moshe. We all of us at some level can know, at some level we do know who we are. We don't have low self-esteem. At some level we have humility, which is the middah of emes. And so we manifest Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, we talked over the weeks, the last few months, the idea that the Yidden have this tremendous genius that Rabbeinu Shalom is waiting for us to tell him who to be, and that's only because we have that facility to be able to look inside ourselves and see the divine in ourselves. Yeah. Of course I can tell God who to be. I can see God inside myself. Of course I can tell God what shape to take. I see the shape of God inside me. Novos, I get so battered around by something like low self-esteem. I get so battered around by the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune that it's hard for me to hang on to. It's hard for me to hold inside myself that image of myself, the true humble self. And the Ari says, the name Moshe has the three letters Mem Shin Hei, which stands for Mashaho Yohu. Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Proverbs, Mashaho Yohu Shiyeh. Whatever was, that's what will be. Mashaho Yohu Mem Shin Hei. And that Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to know what Mashiach is? You want to, I guess, some kind of a picture of who Mashiach is? Think of Moshe. And it's easy for us to, like, you know, when we talk about David Melech Mashiach, right? David Melech Yisroel Chai V'Kaya. David is the Mashiach, the anointed. In one beginner, that's true. And in fact, the name Adam, Aleph Dalet Mem, is Adam David Moshe. Or Adam David Mashiach. But the first Redeemer that we had, that we could look at and say, you know, wow, this is what a Redeemer looks like, is Moshe. Hagam, you could say that Yosef was our first Redeemer, right? The first time we looked at our brother and he was a king, yeah? And he saved us and he fed us. Where you could say, oh, we looked at our brother for leadership, we looked at Yehuda. And, you know, we have so many different images of who Mashiach is, who the Redeemer is. But let's put it this way. The world looked at Moshe Rabbeinu and it was obvious he was a Mashiach. He was a Redeemer. And, you know, there's a part of us that is still waiting for just that feeling of now somebody's going to take me by the hand and show me who I am. Somebody's going to take me by the hand and show me the Torah. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, he wanted to teach us with such sweetness that the Torah tells us that before Matan Torah, God says to Moshe, go tell the Yidden, if you will be special to me, and you'll be a kingdom of a nation of priests, you should know that I own the whole land. I own the whole earth, God says. I need you to be holy for me. I will be your God. This is what you should tell the Yidden. Lo pochos v'lo yoise. Rashi says, this is what you should tell the Yidden. Means, God says to Moshe, no more, no less. Why would I think that Moshe would say something that God hadn't said? Because God says to Moshe, tell the Yidden, the relationship that I want with them has to be like completely ibigigim. What am I offering you? I'm offering you me. What do I want from you? I want you. So there's a fear that Moshe will come down. You know, Moshe always made the Torah taste so sweet. He always wanted every Yid to get the most utmost Gevalt Hanoah pleasure from the Torah. So he would come down and explain. Because we would say, you know, we're going to devote our whole life to God. So Moshe would try and explain the Ziskite, the sweetness, the pleasure that's to be had. So God says to him, this is what you should tell the Eden. No more, no less. You know, we're still waiting for somebody to come tell us what the sweetness is. We're still waiting for somebody to feed us the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu fed us the Torah. Because everybody has their own Torah. Only Moshe Rabbeinu, who contained the Torah, could give us each one to unlock. You know, sometimes I hear a Torah from somebody and it's like, Mamash, my stomach turns over. I don't want to hear it. It's harsh, it's bitter, it's this, it's strong, it's strong. And I look around in the Besmedish and everybody's smiling. Yeah, it's gewalt. And I feel ashamed. Like, you know, how come the Rav speaking, everybody's nodding, and inside me, like, it's churning. I don't want to hear it. Right? Because, you know, he's not Moshe. The Rav's not Moshe. If Moshe would say over this Torah, then I would hear inside it all the sweetness that is that Torah, that part of it that belongs to me. So when somebody's feeding me a Torah and it doesn't have that shaychus to me, then it tastes bitter. And when Moshe was teaching us, so God has to warn him, Moshe, please, this is not time to do this. I want you to lay it out for the Eden. This is what I want from you. I want everything. I bless you and me. We should have a beautiful Kabbalah Satorah. That we should really receive the Torah that tastes so sweet. That we should die in the sweetness. Yishikenim Nishiko Ispiu. The Gemara says that when we heard from God, Anoichi Hashem Nekecho, I am the Lord your God, everybody died just from the sweetness of hearing it. It was so real.